The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Good morning, Trend.
With Big Party Began and Molly
on Channel 94.1.
Gas prices going up this week. It all stems from an attack at a Saudi oil refinery over the weekend. The president is saying that the U.S. is locked and loaded to respond. We believe we know who is behind the attacks, aka Iran, but we're waiting to hear verification from Saudi Arabia.
I thought the cool thing was that they call it a drone attack, and we say that like it's all normal, like drone attack. It's like, well, what kind of drones? I want to see the footage.
I do too.
Are these like the little remote control drones? Are they like the drones America has? Reaper drones that are like, you know, drone
huge.
Attack.
That's the first thing I thought, is that it's the big ones.
And when it becomes normalized, it's weird. It's not like army soldiers attacking. When it sounds like drones, it doesn't sound like anybody did it. It's just robots. Robots attacked.
Yeah, exactly.
So Saudi Arabia and Iran have been fighting a proxy war in Yemen for a while. And this is that kind of stuff. This is them now. They've been shooting back for a while directly into Yemen. You know, there were those...
Well, this was pretty big stuff. They knocked out half of Saudi Arabia's oil supply. So they give 5% to the world. So it's going to show. You're going to feel it.
Well, they initially said it won't be a big deal. We'll recover real fast. And then they came back a little bit. They're like, all right, it doesn't look like they're going to recover that. It's quickly. So gas is going to be reflective of it. But
yes,
they seem confident that they can get rolling in a bit. But we don't want a big war in the Middle East. But what do I know? I'm just here sipping tea.
I should have gotten gas this weekend. I went by like six stations and I thought to myself, that's a pretty good price.
And I didn't.
And I'm so mad. Like, I woke up this morning, I was like, oh!
I don't want all of us to have to drive those little cars. Remember the last time
those things are ridiculous.
Gas got crazy and everybody went all in on the tiniest cars. We were all like telling each other, no one was
Mini
ever going to drive
a
truck again.
The weird thing is, the Mini Coopers are cute, but it's the smart cars that freak me out. The ones that honestly stop at your front seat.
It was really popular for a minute. Now you see one on the interstate next to you and you look over like, do you feel safe?
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable. Yeah, they're so tiny. And we got to be careful out there because, you know, obviously with cars on the road, we have people on the road. There is another fatality this weekend. A pedestrian, a little 9-year-old boy, was struck by an SUV in Bellevue. He was skateboarding. But this is the fourth child fatality in Omaha in less than a month.
How many for the year? It seems like every time we turn around, there's someone getting hit
There's like a nationwide trend that the amount of pedestrians getting hit has gone up.
Yes.
I assume it must be like all the other levels of it's distracted driving. Drivers have never been more distracted. I don't think you could ever try and rein in the control of people going in front of you. You know, we can't, you know, get kids
surprises.
To not ride a skateboard out. That's going to happen.
Just got to be aware when
you're
driving.
It's the nightmare if you're the poor person, though. Haven't you ever done that? You drive through a neighborhood.
Oh, Jeff.
And let's see if you lose focus for a second. And you look up and you see kids. And, you know, I'm not safest driver, but you think, oh, my God, what would happen if I... You know, wasn't even, it ran out in front of you, but you live with it for the rest of your life.
Yes, you do. You have to live with that.
Forget the legalese, oh my gosh. So, heart goes out to the family, and obviously the driver.
The driver, there's a guy mowing his lawn or something, and he heard it all go down. And
he
said all he heard was a man screaming, call 911, just screaming loud. Anyway, that's sad.
Eyes up, devices down. Everybody just do their part in paying attention to the roads out there. New research. I think this is so wild. Okay, so the idea is American kids with money and privilege are more likely to binge drink. And I just don't understand how this is research. I mean, it isn't that just, yes, given lots of time, free time, and free access to money, you will get up to no good.
Well, aren't they saying a little bit of this monkey see, monkey do, that you know, more affluent kids grow up seeing affluent parents that drink?
True. I mean, you do see probably a lot more socializing or mingling or that kind of thing. But binge drinking is cited as 4 or more alcoholic beverages for a female, 5 or more for a male. But in also, an hour.
Also like, used to kind of be a blue collar thing, though, too. Like the time you sit down with your dad, pound back beer.
Have a beer. Is there an age on this or is just kids in general?
At what age were you the first time you had your first White Claw with your dad?
My first White Claw with my dad was probably, I would guess my first beer was something around maybe 7.
Where you just
had
like a little sip?
Yeah, I'm not talking about sips. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about where dad goes, he likes it. I'm talking about the first time your dad looked over both shoulders, said, hey, while your mom's not around.
You never did. Kind of cool man.
Want a beer?
Never did. He never did.
And you could tell they're kind of feel like they're out there on a ledge, like, is this a bad idea? Hey, pal. Right. Hey, pal. Want a beer?
I don't know. I know my dad didn't, but...
I was telling Party, we went on a fishing trip to Canada, and I remember that. I specifically remember that one, that it was a boys' trip, and I was the youngest of all the boys, so it was sort of like, you can have yourself a Molson.
Really?
So there's photos of everybody fishing, and you see me in the background like a kid who just got access to beer.
Yes.
2 seconds later, Jeff's asleep.
Tipping him back.
How early were you? Call us 938-9400. That's in the show.
You're listening to the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 941.
All right, good morning to you. 938-9400. Aaron, what's the first time you had a beer? Aaron, you there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I grew up in a small town. So I was young.
And, like, was it the family tradition?
You know, I came from an Italian family, so on holidays we were given wine as children on the holidays. But in high school, yeah, we did. Everybody drank. And ironically, and it's something that's funny raising my kids in the city, is I try to explain that I have always had an open dialogue with my kids, and my older ones anyway. And I told them, you know, in a small town, the class doesn't matter. Like, by the time you hit a party on a Friday night, the jocks and the nerds and the cowboys, we're all together. I mean, we all, at the end of the day, didn't see each other for our groups. We just, right. In a small town, But as far as the binge drinking, it's interesting because we were fortunate enough that our girls didn't drive in high school, so they couldn't, I had to cart them around, so they couldn't get away with drinking because I had to pick them up. But in college was a different story. So it was a big thing for my husband and I to sit him down and say, hey, look, this is about drinking, this is binge drinking, this is beers, like, don't ever leave a drink unattended because we're not idiots. We know they're going to go to parties. So it's interesting. One goes to a public college, one goes to a Catholic college, and they both have the same stories about affluent kids. I mean, in their eyes, obviously, they call them rich kids. But it's the way they describe it is they are the ones that binge drink, and they are the ones that text and drive. And it's not, it's because they've just never faced adversity. They've always been entitled, so they don't see the consequences.
Yeah, you should still never have to worry about getting in trouble. You know,
yes.
I guess that would be the deal. Do rich kids never get in trouble for mom and dad?
Yeah, they almost look past it a little bit.
They just can't look back. They don't see, any consequences at all. Whether it be, I mean, even just, like one of my daughters said, the way one gal drives, I mean, a lot of them in college, you know, they all pile in the car to go to get ice cream. And she's like, it's always the rich girls that are texting. And she's like, I think it's because they just think they're invincible. They just don't understand because they've never been through anything bad because they've just always been given what they want or sheltered or...
Or maybe it's monkey see. Maybe that's monkey see, monkey do, meaning...
I wonder if it's a little bit more
mom
that.
And dad text and drive, kids tend to are going to do the
Learn
same thing.
Learn that from there because, they're not telling them not to, right?
I wouldn't want to be a 16-year-old driver with today's distractions. Like, when we learned how to drive, we didn't have the distractions.
No, we didn't have any of the distractions at all. Hey, Aaron, thanks for calling, dude. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, take care.
So I don't know what the solution is. Is this finger pointing? I think we're all guilty of the same kind of sins. I keep the same with texting and driving. I think we have to come up with a technological solution because there's no...
The blackout, like the idea that, you know, that there's something. And I would imagine that that probably exists. It's just a matter of how much nannying do we want to do of people while they're in their cars? I mean, I would think, I mean, I know that for myself, like my phone, there are certain apps where it's like if I'm in my car, it'll be like, are you driving? Like it'll bing and I, you know, override like, no, I'm fine. Like whatever, like the maps and things like that. It'll ask me every once in a while, like, well, are you behind the wheel? And of course I'm like, no.
No.
Of course not.
Of course not.
I'm in the passenger seat. Just all right. Tell me how to get to where I'm going.
All right. So there's a story out there that's kind of trending right now about a woman who swallowed her engagement ring in her sleep due to a dream. We're going to get to that next.
And what happened when she woke up?
This is the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 94.1.
938-9400 is in the show. You can hit us up on a podcast. Don't forget about that. Channel94.com. That's if you miss any portion of the show. So what's the deal? Lady went to sleep, had weird dream, swallowed ring.
She had a dream that she was getting attacked. Like she was on a train getting attacked by bad guys. And she had to swallow her ring in order to like keep it. And then she woke up and she's like, wow, that was a weird dream. And then she looks down at her finger and she's like, ah!
And her
she actually
hurts.
Swallowed her ring. It was a 2.6 carat ring, and they had to like get it out. They're like, we can't let that go through you.
How really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they had to like go in. And
they're like, we'll just let nature take its course. And they're like, no, that will gut you like a fish.
Exactly.
Doesn't this seem sketchy, though? So that you have a
dream.
No,
she's got, no, she has what, that, she sleepwalks. She's got some weird sleep thing. Like, she's like, I mean, she has a history of, like, some weird sleep issues. So this was, like, one of those things where when she woke up and she saw she wasn't wearing the ring, she knew that she'd probably ate it.
Like, I mean, I can say, I guess, if you had, if sleepwalker people, so she's that person, she acts out dreams.
Right.
I've woken up to, like, in the dream, I was screaming or something, I yelled, and then you wake up and you're like, did I just yell? Mm-hmm. Like, you have a feeling of the presence of,
yeah,
I did it just this weekend.
I'm sure your ears are ringing like, yeah, dude, you just yelled.
I mean, I had a dream this week. I had a dream this weekend that I was in a marathon or I was running and I actually pushed myself nearly out of bed trying to get a push off from the block. Like it was so real in my mind that I was doing it in my sleep, but I've never taken a ring off of my finger and put it in my mouth, took a sip of water and swallowed. I mean, that's
how
next
do we know
level.
That she took a sip of water?
Yeah, that's what she said. She said she took water and swallowed it, at least in the dream. So yeah, maybe in like,
so how do we know unless we have a GoPro aimed at her?
She was just sharing her story.
I had a dream once that I ate the entire pillow on the bed next to me, and I woke up and the hooker's head was gone.
Jeez, that's a hell of a dream.
That's why I had to move.
You're like, I'm not. That was back when I was Dan. I'm Jeff now.
That's when Dan used to go to bed hungry. Don't go to bed hungry.
No, don't.
Not with a hooker.
Yeah. She no longer sleeps with her ring on her finger, she said. That was the answer to that question.
I don't know. I mean, in reality, if you're in a robbery situation and Peter said, Molly, swallow your ring, would you swallow it?
No.
Swallow it.
I don't want to pass this thing through my body. I mean, you know, I guess if you were in a situation where it was life or death, I mean, you hear about situations where people do all sorts of crazy stuff in order to, you know, hide their things.
But yeah.
No, I mean, I just, I when I read about how large the diamond was on this ring, I could understand why the doctors are like, yeah.
That's what really got your interest. Let's be honest.
Ooh,
the
absolutely.
Only interesting part of the story was the size of the diamond.
2.6.
This guy, this husband's never going to live this down with his friends.
Oh, God, no.
That your wife sleep swallows. Anything she dreams about, she'll swallow.
Uh-oh.
He's trying to dream seed her at night.
What? Hey, do you want to dream about hot dogs or something?
This is the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 94.1.
You're listening to the Big Party Morning Show on Channel
94.1. All right, good morning to you. 938-9400. Beyonce, what is the gift of joy?
The gift is her voice, but it's also the work that she did for an independent album for The Lion King that she helped voice this summer and sing on this summer and did all the music for. So she's going to give fans a behind-the-scenes look at her making The Gift on ABC tonight, 8 o'clock. It's like a special announcement that she made. She just like totally dropped this out of nowhere.
Like you don't normally see TVs do this, so that's kind of interesting programming, but it's exciting. So ABC goes, guess what? It's tonight. You know, DVR worthy, Beyonce singing the behind the scenes of The Lion King.
So Pharrell, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Childish Gambino, they're all going to be a part of it. You know, she voiced the character Nala for the film remake. So it's going to be good. Post Malone, his Circles was just playing. And Post Malone is enjoying a number one album. Hollywood's Bleeding landed in the top spot of Billboard. So he is enjoying his time at the top. Taylor Swift's Lover still hanging out at number two. But Tool, who was number one for a while, dropped to number seven. So
it was pretty amazing, though, that they were one for even for however brief a moment of like not even playing the game.
Yeah, one week.
But now all is right in the world again.
In the Billboard world.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to get tickets to give away to that Postie Fest because that thing's going to be a big deal.
It looks fun.
Post Malone's festival coming up with Meek Mill, Pharrell, a bunch of artists.
Down in Tejas. Rick Ocasek, the lead singer of The Cars, was passed away in his New York City home over the weekend. This is like good weekend.
Was he sick? I mean, did he just...
He said natural causes. He was 75.
Yeah.
That guy lived pretty well. Like, he dated amazing women despite his face.
He was married to Paulina Poroshkova. They were estranged. They announced their separation last year, but they'd been together for like 28 years. She's a supermodel. So she did all right.
She was one of the superest of the models. Paulina Poroshkova. Oh, my God. I launched a thousand starchy socks to her.
Oh, yes. You know, so they just found him sitting in there. Oh, yes, I did. I still do.
Back in the day, the swimsuit issue. She was on a couple of Sports Illustrated covers.
So they just found him, huh? Just sitting in his chair.
It's weird as their house is on the market. It got posted in January for $15 million. Now it's down to $13 million. It's this huge townhouse in New York City. Wonder what happens now to the price when they're like, and they found him dead in it.
Well, probably goes up.
Molly's thoughts on the last one was the price of the wedding ring. This guy dies in his house, and she's like, ooh, his house was for sale. I wonder how much it's going for.
I immediately went on Zillow. I wanted to see pictures. Really? I lived in that neighborhood.
What'd you see?
The photos on Zillow? Anybody can see it. I mean, that's the thing. I was like, how does a celebrity's home end up on Zillow? Like, don't you like go into like a special
if you're
us
celebrity.
Plebes can't look at your stuff on account of the fact that like you're Rick Ocasek and I'm just me.
But what I've heard one of the car songs all over the TV this year lately, it's in like a car ad. Somebody's got an ad that has the summer, summer, summer. Wow. And it's for something huge. It's like Verizon or a car.
They're still relevant. I mean, well... You know, the cars have been around forever, influenced tons of people. Eddie Money.
Who died on Friday? Eddie Money.
Eddie Money. Can you believe that?
That was another one that was just sort of...
Did you go look at his house on Zillow, Molly?
He didn't have one.
Oh, okay. All right.
No.
She looked. She couldn't find anything materialistic to give a crap about.
In the story of Rick Ocasek's passing, they mention in page 6 of the New York Post that the house is on the market, which would beg one to say, ooh, I want to see what the house looks like.
And you did.
And I did.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. Now, I obviously don't have $15 million, and I don't live in New York City, but seems like a real bargain.
Deal, real bargain. Uh-huh. Sure, the price will go up from there, regardless of what happened in there. There's Eddie Money here. Yeah, so that's two.
Both Rick Ocasek and this guy, Eddie Money, both, you know, to pay the bills, had to eventually sell their songs to ads. Because you remember, Eddie Money was actually in the commercial. I mean, it's a big deal when you bastardize your hit for corporate America, but I thought it was funny. He used to be in the ad for, like, the Travelocity or somebody's ad where he goes, I got two tickets
to paradise.
Yes. Oh.
Remember that people are, like, at a travel agency, and he comes out and he's singing it. People are like... Is that really Eddie Money? And I thought, well, that's got to be a nice payday, day, I assume, right?
Yeah, so we got Eddie Money. We got Rick from the Cars.
So who's the third? If you're an aging rocker, be careful.
Exactly.
The Grim Reaper is looking for you.
This is the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 94.1.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.